All right, strap in everybody, because today we are going deep, deep, deep into injection molding.
Deep dive time.
That's right, a deep dive. And specifically, we are tackling this issue of pressure loss. Now, before you think, oh, this is just for people who, you know, work in factories and stuff, think again, because it affects the cost.
Yeah.
And the quality of almost every single plastic thing that you touch every day.
It really does.
From your phone case to like the dashboard in your car. I mean,
pretty much.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. Injection molding is like the invisible force behind so many everyday objects people don't even realize.
It's more pervasive than people realize.
Yeah, for sure.
We've got a stack of articles and research here.
Awesome.
And I'm really excited about this one because it's not just about the big machines.
Okay.
We're going to look at mold designs themselves.
Interesting.
The process tweaks that can make or break a product.
Mm-hmm.
And even the surprisingly crucial role of the human operator's skill.
Yeah, it's like a symphony where every instrument has to be perfectly tuned.
Okay.
You know, from the equipment to the material to the human element.
Right.
Each component plays a vital role in minimizing that pressure loss and making sure you get a high quality product.
Right. So let's start with the equipment itself.
Okay.
I used to think bigger machine.
Yeah.
More power. Problem solved.
More power.
Yeah. But it turns out that's not always the case.
Yeah, not always.
It's kind of like using a sledgehammer to hang a picture frame. Not exactly the right tool for the job.
Yeah, you don't need all that.
And speaking of using the wrong tools, I once tried to use a power drill to stir paint.
Oh, no.
Let's just say it was a messy learning experience.
I can imagine.
Don't try that at home.
Yeah, so it's about finding the right fit for the job, not just opting for the most powerful option.
Right.
A machine's pressure rating needs to match the specific demands of whatever you're trying to make.
Okay.
Imagine trying to produce a tiny, intricate hearing aid component with a machine designed for making car bumpers.
Oh, wow.
You know? It's just...
Yeah, it'd be like trying to write a novel.
Right.
On a typewriter designed for printing grocery store receipts.
Exactly.
You'd end up with a very frustrated writer and a lot of wasted paper.
Exactly. And even with the right machine, if you neglect regular maintenance, that's a huge mistake.
Okay.
Things like worn seals, hydraulic leaks, or even a slightly clogged nozzle can just wreak havoc on the pressure.
Oh, really?
And your entire production run.
Okay, so this makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's like, you know how a tiny leak in your garden hose
can
turn into a weak dribble?
Right.
Same principle here, except the stakes are way higher than a wilting petunia.
For sure.
We're talking about potentially scrapping a whole batch of product.
Exactly. But here's where it gets really cool.
Okay.
Manufacturing technology is rapidly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Some machines now use sophisticated sensors like pressure transducers and temperature sensors to constantly monitor and adjust the pressure in real time.
Oh, wow.
They're almost like self-learning systems constantly optimizing the process.
So they're like...
And minimizing pressure loss on the fly.
Like a little engineer.
Yeah.
Living inside the machine, constantly tweaking things to keep everything running perfectly.
That's a great way to put it.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the molds themselves.
Okay.
They're not just simple cookie cutters, are they?
No, they're not.
I'm guessing there's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
Oh, absolutely. Mold design is where art meets science.
Uh-huh.
Think of it like a water slide.
Okay.
Smooth curves equal fast, efficient flow, while bumps and irregularities cause resistance and slowdowns.
Right.
So you're essentially designing the path of least resistance for that molten plastic.
So you're telling me there's an art to designing those seemingly simple plastic shapes we see every day.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just pour plastic and get shape out.
No, not at all.
Right.
The shape and size of the flow channels within the mold are meticulously calculated and tailored to the specific product. It's a delicate balance between making sure there's smooth flow and minimizing that pressure loss.
Right.
And it gets even more complex when you factor in things like wall thickness, corner radii, and just the overall geometry of the part.
Okay, so there's some serious engineering going on here.
There is.
And what about venting?
Venting.
I remember from high school science class that trapped air can cause all sorts of problems.
Yes.
Is that a factor in injection molding too?
You're spot on. Venting or exhaust is crucial for even filling and preventing defects.
Okay.
Trapped air acts like these tiny roadblocks, causing pressure to build up and potentially leading to imperfections in the final product.
Right.
Like you might get short shots where the mold doesn't fill completely, or flash where excess plastic squeezes out and forms unsightly burrs.
So a tiny bit of trapped air can have a huge impact on the quality and appearance of the final product.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about the shape, right?
Right.
The material the mold is made from also matters, especially how it handles heat.
Absolutely. The material properties like thermal conductivity and coefficient of thermal expansion play a huge role.
Okay.
For example, if the mold material expands too much under heat,
right,
you might end up with parts that are slightly too large,
okay,
or have warped features.
Gotcha.
And speaking of cool technologies,
mm-hmm.
3D printing is changing the game.
Oh, wow.
It's being used to rapidly prototype and test molds.
Okay.
Allowing manufacturers to experiment with different designs and optimize for pressure efficiency.
Wow.
Before committing to large-scale production.
So it's like the ultimate try before you buy for injection molding.
It is.
They can actually simulate how the plastic will flow through the mold,
yeah,
and make adjustments before even making the real thing.
Exactly.
That's amazing. But we've talked about the machine and the mold.
Right.
What else impacts pressure loss? Is there more to this story?
Yeah, there's definitely more to the story. Well, now we need to talk about the process itself, those critical tweaks that can make or break a product. Even with top-notch equipment and a perfectly crafted mold,
right,
if the process parameters aren't dialed in,
mm-hmm,
you're going to run into trouble.
Oh, okay.
It's like having a gourmet kitchen but not knowing how to cook.
Right.
You've got the tools.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Let's unpack that.
Okay.
What kind of process tweaks are we talking about here?
So one of the most critical factors is injection speed.
Okay.
You might think faster is always better, right?
Yeah, get it done.
But forcing the material into the mold too quickly can actually backfire.
Okay. That's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
I can see how that could create turbulence and uneven flow.
Right.
Kind of like trying to cram all your clothes into a suitcase at the last minute.
Uh-huh.
You just end up with a jumbled mess.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
It's not just about getting the material into the mold quickly.
Right.
It's about ensuring a smooth, controlled flow.
Okay.
That minimizes resistance and pressure loss.
So it's like pouring honey.
Yes.
If you go too fast, it creates air pockets and it doesn't settle properly.
You got it.
Okay, so you need that Goldilocks zone.
Uh-huh.
Not too fast, not too slow.
Right.
What about the pressure used to hold the material in the mold?
Yeah.
Once it's injected, does that play a role too?
Absolutely. Holding pressure is essential,
okay,
for making sure the material completely fills every nook and cranny of the mold and avoids defects.
Gotcha.
If it's too low, you might end up with those dreaded short shots we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But if you crank it up too high, you risk warping the part or even damaging the mold itself.
So it's like a firm handshake,
yeah,
not too weak, not bone crushing.
Exactly.
You got to find that perfect balance.
Yes.
And I'm guessing temperature is another crucial factor here.
It is.
Too hot, too cold, it's got to be just right.
Your catching on temperature plays a massive role.
Okay.
Think of it like baking a cake. Too low and the batter won't set properly. Too high and you'll end up with a burnt mess.
All right.
Each type of plastic has its ideal temperature range.
Okay.
For optimal flow and solidification.
Yeah.
Getting it just right is key to achieving the desired properties in the finished part.
Okay. So far we've covered the machine, the mold, and the process itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're building a layer cake of knowledge here.
We are.
But now I want to dig into the part that I find the most fascinating.
Okay.
The human element.
Yeah.
We keep talking about how skilled operators can feel how the machine is performing.
Right.
But what does that actually look like in practice?
The human element is often overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely vital.
Right.
Even in today's world of advanced automation.
Right.
A skilled operator can make all the difference between a smooth production run and a costly disaster.
So it's like the difference between having a seasoned captain.
Yes.
At the helm of a ship versus someone who just read the instruction manual.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
An experienced operator brings a wealth of knowledge and intuition to the table. They can often spot subtle signs of trouble,
mm-hmm,
just by the sounds the machine makes.
Really?
Or by slight variations in pressure readings or cycle times.
Wow, so they're not just button pushers.
Right.
They're more like conductors of an orchestra.
Yes.
Keeping everything in sync and making sure each instrument is playing its part flawlessly.
That's a great way to put it.
But how do they develop this almost sixth sense,
right,
for troubleshooting injection molding? Does it just come with time?
It's a combination of training experience and a natural aptitude for problem solving.
Okay.
Many operators start as apprentices, shadowing seasoned veterans,
uh-huh,
to learn the tricks of the trade. Sure. It's very much a hands-on learning process,
yeah,
passed down from one generation to the next.
It's like learning a craft. You can't just read about it in a book. You've got to get your hands dirty.
Exactly.
And learn from the masters. But let's dive into a typical day for one of these experienced operators.
Okay.
What kind of challenges do they face? What are their biggest headaches?
Picture this. You walk into the factory floor.
Okay.
And the injection molding machine is making a strange rhythmic thumping sound that it didn't make yesterday.
Oh, no.
There's no warning light.
Come on.
No error message on the display. Hmm. What do you do?
Oh, man, that sounds stressful.
Hmm.
I'd probably hit the big red button and run for the hills.
That's what a rookie might do.
All right.
But an experienced operator knows that panic won't solve the problem.
Right.
They'll start by methodically going through a mental checklist.
Okay.
They'll check the temperature readings, look for any fluctuations in pressure.
Right.
Examine the molded parts for subtle defects and listen carefully to the machine sounds.
So they're like detectives gathering clues.
Yeah.
To solve the mystery of the misbehaving machine.
Exactly.
What are some of the common culprits they encounter? What throws a wrench in their day?
One of the most frustrating issues is inconsistent material.
Oh, really?
Even if you're using the same type of plastic, each batch can vary slightly in its properties, like melt flow index or moisture content.
Okay.
This can have a huge impact on the injection molding process, leading to unexpected pressure fluctuations or changes in the finished product's appearance.
It's like thinking you're baking a chocolate cake every time.
Yeah.
But sometimes you accidentally get a batch of flour that's been sitting in a humid warehouse.
Yeah.
And suddenly your cake is dense and crumbly.
Exactly.
Not quite what you were expecting.
Not at all. And then there are the inevitable equipment glitches.
Right.
Worn seals, leaking valves, clogged nozzles. These things can happen, even with the most well-maintained machines.
Right.
A skilled operator knows how to diagnose these problems quickly and efficiently.
Right.
Often relying on their years of experience and a keen ear for the telltale signs of trouble.
So it's almost like they have a personal relationship with the machine.
Yeah.
Understanding its quirks and knowing how to coax it back into good behavior.
That's a good way to put it.
But with the rise of automation, are these skilled operators going the way of the dodo? Will robots eventually take over their jobs?
That's a question a lot of people are asking.
Yeah.
While robots excel at repetitive tasks and precision, they lack the intuition and problem-solving skills of a human operator.
Right.
They can't listen to a machine's heartbeat and sense when something is amiss.
So it's not just about following a set of programmed instructions.
Right.
It's about being able to think on your feet, adapt to unexpected situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes even MacGyver your way out of a jam.
Yeah, right.
Do you see a future where humans and robots work together in the factory?
I do.
Like a dynamic duo of manufacturing.
Absolutely. I envision a future where humans take on more of a supervisory role.
Okay.
Overseeing the automated systems,
uh-huh.
fine-tuning the process, and ensuring quality standards are met.
Right.
They'll be the conductors guiding the robotic orchestra.
I like that.
To create beautiful, high-quality plastic products.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's like the relationship between a pilot and an autopilot system.
Huh, yeah.
The autopilot can handle the routine stuff.
Right.
But the pilot needs to be there to take over when things get hairy.
Exactly.
But before we get too far into the future, let's bring it back to the material itself.
Okay.
We've touched on the fact that different plastics have different personalities, so to speak.
Right.
When it comes to injection molding.
They do.
You're right. We've explored the machine, the mold, the process, and the human touch.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the very substance that's being molded.
Okay.
The plastic itself.
Yeah.
We've talked about how different plastics have their own quirks, you know, when it comes to flow and how that impacts the injection molding process.
Right.
But I have to admit, I always thought plastic was plastic. What makes one type flow easier than another?
Okay.
Is it all about those long, tangled molecular chains you mentioned earlier?
You're on the right track.
Okay.
Imagine those molecular chains, like strands of spaghetti. Some types of plastic have chains that are short and slippery, like perfectly cooked al dente pasta.
Right.
They slide past each other easily.
Uh-huh.
Others have long, tangled chains.
Right.
More like a bowl of overcooked spaghetti.
Yeah.
All clumped together, resisting flow.
Okay. I can picture that.
Yeah.
So the ease with which those chains move past each other.
Right.
Determines how easily the plastic flows.
Exactly.
And that, in turn, impacts the pressure needed to push it through the mold.
It does.
But what factors affect this spaghetti slipperiness at the molecular level?
Sure.
Is it just the type of plastic?
It's more nuanced than that.
Right.
The type of plastic is a major factor, of course.
Right.
But things like molecular weight, the presence of additives, and even temperature all play a role.
Okay.
For instance, adding plasticizers can make the chains more flexible and slippery, improving flow.
So it's not just about choosing the right plastic for the final product's properties, but also about choosing one that will behave well during the injection molding process itself.
Exactly. You want it to flow nicely.
Is there a way to quantify how easily a plastic flows?
There is.
Like a spaghetti slipperiness rating?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
It's called the Melt Flow Index, or MFI.
Okay.
It's a standardized test that measures how much molten plastic flows through a small orifice under a specific set of conditions.
Gotcha.
A higher MFI means the plastic flows more easily, like those perfectly cooked al dente noodles.
So if I'm making a complex part with thin walls or intricate details,
yes,
I'd want a plastic with a high MFI.
Exactly. High MFI plastics are ideal for those types of parts.
Okay.
They flow easily into tight spaces and require less pressure,
right,
which reduces stress on the equipment and can extend the mold's lifespan.
Less wear and tear.
Exactly. Yeah. Think of it like choosing the right paint for a detailed miniature. You need something that flows smoothly and doesn't clog the fine lines.
That makes perfect sense. And what about plastics with a low MFI?
Yeah.
What are they good for? Are they just stubborn troublemakers?
Not at all. They have their own strengths.
Okay.
Low MFI plastics are more viscous, like that overcooked spaghetti.
Okay.
They're often chosen for making larger, simpler parts.
Right.
Where strength and rigidity are key.
So like,
think of things like structural components or heavy-duty containers where you need that extra muscle.
Gotcha. It's all about finding the right tool for the job.
It is.
But even with the perfect plastic and all the other elements we've discussed,
right,
it seems like there's still a lot of things that can go wrong in injection molding.
That's true. It's a complex process with many moving parts.
Yeah.
But as technology advances, we're getting better at predicting and controlling those variables.
Uh-huh.
One area that I'm particularly excited about is the use of artificial intelligence, or AI,
okay,
to optimize injection molding.
Hold on. AI in injection molding. That sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie.
I know. It's pretty cool.
How does that work?
Imagine a system that can analyze vast amounts of data from the injection molding process.
Okay.
Like temperature readings, pressure fluctuations, and even the sound of the machine.
Wow.
It can identify patterns and make real-time adjustments to optimize efficiency and quality.
So it's like having a super smart computer assistant constantly monitoring the process.
Yeah.
And making tweaks to ensure everything runs smoothly.
That's a great way to put it.
But can it really replace the expertise of a human operator?
Hmm.
Those folks seem to have a sixth sense for troubleshooting these machines.
It's not about replacing humans.
Okay.
It's about empowering them with better tools and insights.
Okay.
Think of it as a collaboration.
Right.
The AI can handle the data analysis and number crunching.
Right.
Freeing up the operator to focus on the bigger picture and those subtle nuances that a computer might miss.
So it's like having a co-pilot in the cockpit.
Yeah.
Helping to navigate the complexities of injection molding.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, this has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
I'm already looking at plastic products in a whole new light.
I'm glad to hear that.
But before we wrap up, I'm curious, why should the average person care about all of this?
That's a great question.
Does pressure loss in a factory really impact their daily lives?
It absolutely does.
Okay.
It all comes down to the quality, cost, and sustainability of the products we use every day.
Right.
When pressure loss leads to defects,
uh-huh,
it not only affects the product's appearance and functionality, but also its lifespan.
Oh, yeah.
A cracked phone case or a leaky water bottle is not only annoying,
right,
but also wasteful.
That's a great point. We often take these everyday objects for granted.
We do.
But a lot of science and engineering goes into making them durable and reliable.
It really does.
And pressure loss also impacts manufacturing efficiency.
Yeah.
When machines have to work harder to overcome pressure loss,
right,
it uses more energy and increases production costs, which ultimately get passed on to the consumer.
Exactly.
So understanding and minimizing pressure loss not only leads to better products, but also helps conserve resources and reduce our environmental impact.
For sure.
It's a win-win for everyone.
Precisely. It's a reminder that even the seemingly mundane aspects of manufacturing have far-reaching consequences for our wallets and our planet.
I think we've done a fantastic job unpacking this topic.
Me too.
Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah. Next time you pick up a plastic product, just take a moment to appreciate the intricate dance of science, engineering, and human skill that went into creating it.
Okay.
Think about those flowing molecular chains, the precisely crafted mold, and the skilled operator who keeps the whole process running smoothly.
Right.
You might even start to notice the telltale signs of a well-molded part versus one that was compromised by pressure loss.
It's like you've given our listeners a superpower.
I like that.
The ability to see the unseen forces that shape our world.
I hope so.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been truly enlightening.
It's been my pleasure. And to our listeners, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, keep exploring and keep learning.